right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Givenish Spotlight Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a phenomenal broadcast. Dan Selecki, who's the CEO at Givenish, is on the broadcast with us. How are you, Dan?
Good, Joe. How are you?
Fantastic. We're going to have Peggy Jansen a little later in the broadcast. We want to thank her for putting everything together. We've got some great guests. One of the things I love about the Givenish Spotlight Hour is, you guys spotlight partners in the community, individuals that are making a difference, and today is obviously no exception. We had a conversation, Dan, before the broadcast, and was really looking forward to today's show. Certainly, definitely an emotional topic, but really, it's a great example of when you talk about nonprofits. It'd be something that you would just off the top of your head would not think of. And you don't realize what other people are going through, even in some of the situations that you may, you may be in a hospital, you may be, passing through, the hospital, have no idea what people are going through. And so, this particular charity and the individuals who created it, who are the founders, did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, it's very interesting, and I agree with you, your comments. We believe here, for number one, we have not only responsibility but an obligation to help support organizations which operate inside the umbrella that we're blessed to serve families in. I was introduced to Today is a Good Day, which is the organization that we're representing today, and both Martha and Paul Sharkey, the founders of the organization. And when I first heard their story, there's very few occasions in my life that I hear experiences of people and things that they have gone through that take their personal experience and transform it to help other people. And it was truly, truly inspirational. And from my first introduction to Martha and Paul, again, it was just inspiring. And then we've had similar future conversations about the organization, and we're just happy to help support them in any way that we can, because I think when your audience hears their story, you can't help but come away inspired.
Absolutely. And so without further ado, I'd like to bring in Martha and Paul Sharkey. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Dan. Thanks, Joe.
It's our pleasure. And certainly, Dan, you mentioned taking an experience and taking that experience and impacting others with it. We're going to get to that, because in some cases, when you go through experiences, you just want to bury them as deep as you possibly can and never, as much as it is, they're always there. Never think about it. But you guys have done an amazing job at creating this nonprofit and impacting those who have gone through similar situations. First, I'd like you to, if you would, and I'll ask Martha first, because I heard she's the boss. Am I right about that?
That's the rumor. That's the rumor.
No comment.
but Martha, if you would, introduce yourself and tell a little bit about, your story.
Sure. Thank you so much. Well, it all starts back in July 2010. Paul and I found out that we were expecting for the first time. I guess it should say it really started back at Penn State, Paul Sharkey.
I was hoping you would talk about
that. I should have said that. We're celebrating 15 years of marriage this year.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Thank you. We were engaged at Penn State, married at Penn State. We are those people. We had a lot of fun years. And when we found out that we were expecting for the first time, obviously it was very exciting for our family. And we thought, like so many, you get pregnant, you have a baby, and you start a family. And that certainly is how it goes for many. That is not how it went for our family. But soon after we learned that we were expecting, we found out we were having identical twin girls. Double the joy. Very exciting. Our family was thrilled. Everything was going along smoothly. Our daughters were due March 8th of 2011. On November 9th of 2010, something didn't feel right. I was working at the Franklin Institute at the time. the doctors said, well, why don't you come in? We'll just make sure that everything is okay. And I'll never forget, I grabbed my folder of work. I looked at my director and I said, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. And that was the first day that our lives changed forever. I was admitted to the hospital at just 23 weeks and 0 days. And we had a really difficult conversation with the neonatologist who came in to meet with us. They said, we're going to try to keep you pregnant as long as possible. Every day, every hour, every minute counts. And Paul and I said, okay, all right, we're in it for the long haul. Our girls are due several months from now. We're going to spend Thanksgiving here. We're going to spend the holidays here. We're going to kick off the new year in this hospital room.
Were you going home or were you staying?
No, I was in the hospital.
Okay.
Yes, I was admitted to the hospital. And I only made it for 5 days before our daughters arrived. Claire Josephine weighed 1 pound, 2 ounces, and Mary Gladys weighed 1 pound, 4 ounces. And we were launched into that overwhelming, isolating, unknown world of the neonatal intensive care unit. And I don't know, Paul, if you want to touch on kind of what that was like for your day when the girls were born.
Unbelievable, shocking, really shocking. I would say one of the nurses took me in. So, but Martha, that day, everything was going slow. Time really slowed down those first few days on bed rest. And then all of a sudden, that Sunday, around 11:45, 12 o'clock, it was go time. So Martha had to have an emergency C-section, and I'll never forget, they're putting me into scrubs. People are scrambling. They couldn't even get her into a gurney to take her. They took the whole hospital bed out because they said, we need to get you into operating room as quickly as possible. And for me, it was a lot of confusion. It was very scary. Lots of medical professionals. And then it got very quiet. Because what ended up happening, everyone went into the operating room with Martha, and I was left in this, I'll never forget, very sterile white hallway, right? Just pristine. The floors were shining, the white lights, and there was just a lone chair in that hallway.
It's almost like a desolate type situation.
And it was just unbelievable. So I was on my knees just praying that Martha would be okay, that the girls would be okay. And a nurse came out, picked me up off the floor, walked me in to the room, said, it's time for you to meet your girls. And that nurse said, I've never seen what true shock looks like until I saw your face that day. Because again, as Martha said, we're the fun-loving Penn State couple. We find out we're pregnant. Things are going great. And like that, life just turned and changed forever.
Having said that, and being a parent, the emotions must have been just running wild because your wife, who you love and you care about, and you you want to be there, and your emotions are one thing, but now you want to be there in every possible way. How was that moment when you went in and you saw one another?
So I didn't get to see Martha. She was, she was behind a curtain. They were taking care of her. The nurse reminded me after the fact that I just kept saying, is Martha okay? Is Martha okay? How's Martha? And she's like holding me up, right? So Martha's over here at the operating table, and then she steers me into this other room where the twins are, Claire and Mary. And the best way to describe it, and it's a little graphic, but they were translucent, right? Because they were born so early that things just weren't developed, and they were under heat lamps to try to keep them warm. And I remember, it's funny now looking back with COVID and everybody so into washing their hands and hand sanitizers, they were so worried that the girls wouldn't even get out of the operating room. The one nurse is saying, touch your baby. And I was just so scared to like touch them because of everything going on. I go, I didn't wash my hands. Right. So they go, get them hand sanitizer. So even, it almost didn't seem like you should be touching these precious things. They're so delicate. So anyway, but they, the point, and as we've kind of learned with our journey in the NICU and everything we would end up going through, is you really do have to embrace each moment. And what I didn't know at that time, what all the medical professionals knew, was that time was really precious. So they wanted me to have as much time with those babies because they weren't sure what the next few days, weeks, even hours would look like.
Martha, your remembrance of that time?
Oh, yes. Yes, I will never forget that day, November 14th, for sure. I do remember being wheeled in to see the girls in the NICU when they took them down to that Abington Hospital NICU. And I don't know that we knew what was in store for our family. We were very grateful. We had a really difficult conversation with one of the neonatologists several days before the girls were born. It was soon after I was admitted to the hospital. And he is one of our dearest friends. We have some wonderful stories to share about him. He's a big, big friend of Today Is a Good Day and believes in what we're doing as well. But he really set the stage for us to know that babies born at 23 weeks had a very slim chance of survival back in 2010.
That type of vulnerability, though, that the two of you must have been going through, with obviously the love you have for your unborn babies and for one another, for so early in your relationship must have been, in a sense, unprecedented. Because at that, there are times, I remember one time in my life when I felt incredibly vulnerable. And it was not exactly that type of situation, but we lost somebody in our family. And we were going to tell my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know. And I'll never forget, I felt like jelly. I thought, if I ever felt weak, it's now. How do you draw strength for one another during that time?
Well, Joe, I'll say this. I know that I married up when I married Martha, and I will say that she makes me better every day. And I want this. This is recorded, right?
Yeah.
This
will be on the radio.
Yeah, people will know. But she makes me better every day. And for us, I think we both come from very strong family, faith-filled backgrounds, and I would say that gave both of us kind of the strength we needed. I have to thank our parents, our grandparents, the educations we had, everything, our friends, everything kind of culminated so that they say in these really tough moments, people either go...
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, or grow closer together.
That's right.
We, you know, without any prodding, we just came closer together because we had a shared goal. We were going to take care of one another, had to get Martha back to health. But we also knew we had two very precious babies and new lives that we needed to care for as well. So we didn't spend a lot of time, I would say. You're looking at me like
I know. I'm saying lucky for you, you got to live with my mother for an extended period of time since my mom.
That's another radio show.
Right. That's that all one, in the game. That is.
And we will not record that comment.
Well, it is, Paul, you said... you hit it on the head there when it comes to. So I just finished a book, and in there there's a chapter on tragedy. If you're together long enough, it's if you're unfortunate, you're going to face a tragic situation. That's either going to, especially one of this nature of epic proportions, either bring two people together, or separate them, which in some cases common sense would say, well, you would think that it would automatically bring two people together, but that's not the case. But it is fantastic that you the character and just the way is both are and your upbringing, that it brought you together. And we're, you know, the reason why we're here today, you know, is the foundation that you started. And we're going to get to that. Your experience going through that, inspiration, you know, for the foundation?
Well, it really was our personal journey. So both daughters were born 23 weeks and 5 days. Claire was our weaker twin when the girls were born. She went from 1 pound, 2 ounces to 15 ounces on day 3 of life. She had a very difficult prognosis. We have in the journal that we kept, we wrote in our journal every single day, every report from the doctor. We wrote down that she had a high probability of not being able to walk or talk in the future if she survived. So she was very sick. Mary had done a little bit better after being born, but it ended up being Mary just 14 days later who earned her wings, and she passed away the Sunday after Thanksgiving at 2:15 in the afternoon. And as we said goodbye to her, which was shocking to us, we learned on Friday that she probably was not going to make it, and we weren't sure exactly when she would pass away, but Sunday she did. And when she passed away, we were then going back to Claire, who was continuing to fight day by day. And I'll never forget, at Mary's funeral, we did a graveside service. Mary is buried with Paul's dad. We did a graveside service, and I remember looking at my mother saying, there is a very high probability we could be right back here next week,
right,
with Claire. But that is not how that went. And Claire, it took her a long time to get to a pound, but that Claire just kept fighting and fighting day by day. And she ended up graduating after 103 days in the NICU. And when we talk about the inspiration for the organization, there were a few key moments during our extended NICU stay that really inspired us. 1 week into our NICU stay, both girls were still with us. A mom had brought her former 23-weeker in to meet with families and bring pizza in. Our nurse taking care of Claire and Mary said, you and Paul need to go. You need to meet this little boy. You need to talk to this mom. So we did, because we did whatever the nurses and doctors told us to do. But we went back there and we met Sam. And when I tell you, the moment that we met Sam, he's sitting across the table from us in the NICU conference center. His mom's at the end of the table. We're having pizza. And Sam's just sitting there playing on his mom's iPhone. And as parents of a 1 pound, 2 ounce, or 15 ounce at the time, and a 1 pound, 4 ounce baby born at the same gestational age, to look across the table at a little boy playing on an iPhone as a toddler, that gave us so much hope and inspiration that even just 1 week later, after Mary had died, Paul and I would frequently look at each other and we'd say, Sam Muscatello was successful, Claire can be successful. But that was the only touch point that we had in the 3.5 months that we were in the NICU with other families. Other than families, we reached out to ourselves because we were really seeking that personal connections with others. So the inspiration for Today is a Good Day really started with that. It also started with getting a lot of paperwork and a lot of information that I'm pretty sure went into a container that we never opened, and wanting just that personal connection with other families. So where we started with Today is a Good Day was taking Claire back when she was 18 months old so that families could see a 15-ounce successful 23-weeker who just got her first pair of sneakers because she just took her first steps at 18 months.
Wow.
And those moments, and we hear from families, we met Claire when you brought her back to Abington. You know, Claire was their inspiration to kind of get through their NICU journey. And then it led to care packages where we have personal notes from our family, from other families who work with us.
And we're going to get into that because it's, you know, it's really special what the organization does and what you both do. Talk about some of the experiences that inspired the care packages and those other things, because you had to experience something, so things that you went through that you thought, okay, this, I sure wish we had this, mm-hmm. or I sure wish this didn't happen. How can we make other people who find themselves in that situation not have to go through that? Talk about some of those, even if they were unintentional at the hospital, some of those experiences that were particularly difficult for you both.
The blessing and curse of having the girls at Abington was that I grew up in Glenside. We talked about that I went to LaSalle because I couldn't get into Roman.
Well, you couldn't get into Roman. And that's not important, Paul.
And the beauty and the curse of a great community hospital like Abington is that we knew many of the team members there. They were our neighbors. We went to church together, and Martha and I vividly remember so many people just coming in and saying they were sorry for us.
Yeah.
Right? So if, you know, your parents in the room, what do people say when you have babies?
Right.
Congratulations. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful moment. So to hear people saying, we're so sorry, because they, again, we're in shock. We don't know what's up or down. But we said, we don't want people to experience that. That was like right away. Martha and I knew that when we had an opportunity in some way, some shape, somehow, similar to life celebration by giveness, you want to celebrate life,
right?
Right. No matter how hard it is at its start or at its end. So we knew we were going to do something to make sure parents felt congratulated. So one of the things I actually told my boss at the time, still good friend of ours today, Dan Tropiano, he called me, he said, what's it like? How are you guys holding up? And I said, well, Dan, everybody's saying they're sorry. Like, it's really dismal around here. So Dan, you know, he's from North Jersey, big guy, big personality. He shows up with the biggest bottle of champagne we had ever seen. And he comes into the room and he says, a birth, no matter the circumstances, should be celebrated.
That's beautiful.
And so we kind of had both ends of the spectrum. But that was one, I would say that was formative for us in terms of the early ideation of what Today Is a Good Day would become, that we were going to congratulate these families. And they knew they weren't alone. There had others that went through it, but they were going to be congratulated.
And how'd you come up with the name?
That is a great story. Paul's pointing at himself that's how we came up with the name. No, we kept, so another part of the care package when we talk about inspiration, the journal. For us, my pregnancy journal became our NICU journal, and we wrote every single thing down. Claire's weight every day, Mary's weight at the beginning, every report from the doctor, the good days, the bad moments, all the challenging questions we had. Every specialist card was taped in the front of that journal. So the journal was one of the first items that we handed out to families. But when we were thinking about a name for the organization, with our girls being born so prematurely, we had many difficult and bad moments.
I'm sure
and days at the beginning.
Everything's taken, by the way. So it's, yes. I mean, in other words.
Yes. So we had a lot of bad days at the beginning, and any time that the doctors or the nurses would say, today is a good day for Claire, or at the beginning, today is a good day for Mary, we would highlight that and write that down and put big stars around it in our journal. And we'll never forget, one of our neonatologist friends said to us, when the good days outweigh the bad days, that's when you get to go home.
Right.
So that is where today is a good day came from.
And it, I mean, it's really the sentiments of it. Now, I'm going to read the mission. The mission of Today Is a Good Day is to provide personal and financial support to families who experience the neonatal intensive care unit, NICU. We deliver the mission of Today Is a Good Day through the programs that you create. Tell us about what type of programs and what type of resources you provide. I mean, I already know, I researched it, and I was blown away. I mean, Dan, you and I had this conversation. I'm so appreciative. Yeah, I mean, Peggy, yeah. you had you know, we talked briefly. You'd sent me this. It talked about what a special show this is going to be. But you prepped me the other day, and as I was researching through everything, and I looked at the intent, at the detailed website, and all the programs you provide. How did you come up with those resources? You guys are well-educated individuals who have, you know, been successful. I can't imagine somebody going through this. And by the way, you're both strong, you're intellectual types. I can't imagine what it would be like you just said, Martha, going through it alone. Mm-hmm. When you put those care packages together, and when you put the resources together, what were the key components and elements that took you where you went?
Well, that's a great question. It really started with conversations. I mean, I vividly remember sitting down with Dr. Jerry Cleary, one of our neonatologists at the time, who took really great care of our family. And we talked to him and said, what do you see? What do you see that families need? We talked to our other neonatologist friends. Abington's our flagship hospital where we started, where we try new programs. But we wanted to hear from them. What do you see that families need, right? We saw where the missing gaps were for us, and we want to try to help fill those gaps. So when we started talking about taking Claire back, we started hosting Navigate the NICU sessions so that families could meet another family who had walked those halls, walked Abington's halls to get to the NICU. They could meet Claire, who was in that NICU. And that was a great program. We now have many volunteer families who pre-COVID would take their NICU miracles back to meet with families in their hospitals. And now we host those sessions virtually every week so that families can connect with one another. We also started the care packages so that families would have a touch point to know that they are not alone. Everything says congratulations in the care package, has a journal, a water bottle, tissues. The care package has evolved over the years. So when we started, it was one day at a time bracelets, a journal, and I think a water bottle. Well, now there's about 11 or 12 items that are in that care package in a tote that families can take back and forth. But not only the messages of congratulations and messages from other families, so that it's not just our voice that's in there, it's a lot of other families who brought these different components of the care package to us. But it's also a note from a NICU graduate who says, I was in the hospital for this long, and now I love to play basketball, or I love to play baseball. And it's written in that child's handwriting so that a family gets a note from a NICU graduate just to give them a little bit of hope. This could be my child down the road.
The strength, Martha, as a mother, to have the strength that you have, okay? You know, and Paul, that's a blessing of epic proportions. I say that because there are so many people that would fall apart and never be able to recover. And yet, you both, but I'll direct to Martha right now, you've chosen to share your story, not only that, to help others. At what point did you do that? And how do you drum up the strength to do it on a daily basis? Because I could think of some tragedies in my life, one in particular, not in this direction, that just talking about it is very difficult. This doesn't get more personal. At what point did you realize that that was going to be a positive, and you know, a positive thing for you as a mother? And what do you get out of helping other people in similar situations?
I think that's thank you. That's a good question to ask. I mean, I would say Paul and I always knew during our NICU stay that we would want to give back in some way. That's why we started taking Claire back, the care packages talking. This is an interesting topic because I just was talking to someone about this earlier today. I think when you're starting an organization or you're trying to figure out how you want to give back, you have something that happens to you, maybe a tragedy, a child, a loss, and you think, I got to make a difference. I got to make this worth something. There has to be a reason behind this. I think you can really move into it very quickly, which can be overwhelming. You might not be emotionally ready to do that. And I was just talking to somebody about this, actually two different people not too long ago. For us, we did take our time. We talked about it. We did little things here and there. We did a project with the March of Dimes with One Day at a Time bracelets. And then I'll tell you, it was my best friend from Penn State. It was fall of 2012, and she called us. She said, get on Facebook. I started your fundraiser page to raise the money you need for your 501c3 status. I'm tired of hearing you talk about this. Let's just get this thing started.
That's awesome.
So she started that page, she and her husband, and we raised the money we needed for the 501c3 status. Paul's brother's an attorney, helped us walk through the paperwork. And that's where the idea started. And we started out really small. There were three of us on the board. We were filling care packages at 10 o'clock at night, 4 o'clock in the morning. We were having conversations. So the one thing we talked about with figuring out what the programs would be, the last program that we added, and Paul, maybe you can talk about it a little bit after our conversation with Dr. Cleary.
Thank you, Martha, for that segue. So, Dr. Cleary, Martha.
Back to Martha.
Yeah, yeah. I love it, Joe.
It's almost like the dating game, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
What are we going to read? Exactly.
Fantastic.
I told you.
So,
before you get into that part, I just want to say, as with with Givnish and you know, the fact that you talked a little bit about synergy, and kind of, really the spirit in the room and the passion for your partners. And, as I'm speaking to Dan when I say that, and I know Peggy, wanting to spotlight individuals that are giving back. And when you hear this story, I mean, it's not only got to touch you, but it's got to be a source of pride, because I know you guys are.
Well, absolutely, but it's more than that. As I mentioned, Joe, in the beginning, is so many people go through so much, and you mentioned it, right? We never know what people are going through. The difficulty is the whole cycle of something. You experience something, right? A loss of something. In our business, someone passes away or dies. There's the whole process they go through: the anger, the denial, the bargaining, the depression, and then hopefully they get to an acceptance part. Martha and Paul, their story is so inspirational that I don't know if I personally would do what they've done. I have that self-reflection. Maybe I just want to sit and wallow. Look at, do you believe what happened to me?
But so
for them to move on, I guess, is the point, and get to a point where they take their own personal experience and their sole mission is to help other people. That's inspirational.
Literally, and it's an organization in a lot of sense that you can refer people to who and partners. And that was, we're going to get to that. But, Paul, it's not a surprise. That's what I'm saying. I mean, the kind of people that you guys are here at Givnish and it's what you do every day, and yet I feel better when I leave than when I came in.
Well, I feel a little worse after I leave listening to these two. I have to go do something.
Right, you got to look at yourself. I feel better because there's always tasty cakes in the room. Right?
Well, that's Peggy.
Having said that, Paul, if you would continue.
Yes, so we talked about the care package and the Navigate the NICU sessions, and we talked to families, what did they want to see in terms of care packages, what did we need to focus on in these Navigate the NICU sessions, and we talked about Dr. Jerry Cleary, who was the head of the neonatal group at Abington, and he said to us at one point, Paul, Martha, that's amazing. Those things are so important, but he challenged us and said, that's low-hanging fruit. He said, what I don't know you have an appreciation for is how great the financial need is for many of these families going through the neonatal intensive care unit. And he really spiked it out for us and said, there's many times where the families don't have enough money for a car seat to take the babies home. They don't have a crib. They don't have a place for the baby to sleep that night. So we take great care of them here in the NICU, but what world are we sending them out to? What needs do they have? And that's where we really said, okay, how do we move beyond just that help, immediate help, in terms of care package, sharing when you're in the NICU, to financial support to help you transition out of the NICU, or even financial support to help the parents get to the hospitals so that they can interact with the babies while they're in the NICU.
Well, one of the things I said at the beginning was, when Dan and I were talking, you never realize what people are going through, but also, in a sense, this is, in a sense, a niche that some people would never think of. Okay, and that's interesting, but how do you find a large group, for example, homelessness is a terrible thing, and we're all passionate about, but it's a big, it's something that everybody, you can see it when you're driving in Center City, and people, this is an area where you're putting together a board, and you're now going to raise money for, you know, to get down to the nitty gritty and some of these things, like you said, that were not the hot, you know, the low hanging fruit. How do you go about putting a board together and finding individuals and inspiring them? Because you obviously have here. Talk about that, because you're going in and talking about your story. That you know, this is not something that people, you know, although when you think about it as you're talking, it's unbelievable. But how do you do that?
Well, I'll tell you, the NICU does impact more people than you know. After we left the NICU and started meeting new people, talking to others, you would be so shocked to know how many people spent time in the NICU, had a loss.
Any percentage of another? I put that down. And when I say that, I thought about it. I thought it's got to be a higher percent. It must happen to a lot more families than you think.
Yes, 1 in 10 babies goes to the NICU.
Okay,
which is a statistic that's out there. But it is shocking to see how many families that you meet along the way. And as we were building out the organization, this is a moment that's really special to me. But my grandmother, who was just my be all and end all in life, Martha Gladys, she was wonderful. I was so blessed to have her until she was 94 years old.
Awesome.
She passed away in 2014. We officially founded the organization in 2014. And for my nan's obituary, our family decided to say, in lieu of flowers, please send donations to Today is a Good Day. And we raised our first $3,000 from my grandmother's obituary, which helped us to buy our first round of care packages and items for families. And since that time, we've grown significantly, but it has been connections with family members, with friends who have no connection to the NICU, right? I mean, I look at my friend Dan here across the table. I am so grateful for our paths crossing and us being able to partner with Life Celebration by Givenish. He'll tell you that I call him frequently and pick his brain about, well, how'd you do this? And just how you're approaching this. Because
he doesn't tell you that, then he then calls me.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, but when we talk about how we approach families and look, like Paul said earlier, look at the way to celebrate, right? Celebrate the good moments, celebrate what we have to celebrate about the situation. And I feel like our approach is very similar in how we're speaking with families. But we have been very blessed to cross paths with wonderful friends and family members and work colleagues and others who believe in the mission, who wanted to get involved in the mission. Our organization grew significantly. I stepped down from my full-time role in December of 2017. I was working as the director of the business district in Chestnut Hill. And we had a big heart-to-heart because the organization was growing. It was difficult to manage with both of us working full-time. And we decided to take a big leap of faith where I stepped down from my full-time role to run the organization fully. We've grown significantly since that time. And now we have a board that is nearly full, will be as of April, of 15 members. We have probably 50 to 60 truly dedicated volunteers who advance the mission of Today is a Good Day on a daily basis through all of their subcommittee work. So it's humbling. We are just humbled every day and so grateful every day for all who support the mission.
I imagine that a lot of what you do and the experiences, and because you're such a strong woman, and I we've known each other for about 30 minutes, and I could tell that 5 minutes when I came, I say that because you, in a sense, not everybody exudes that strength, and so but what you went through, I'm sure, you know, took every ounce of fortitude that you had. But having said that, when I was researching what the organization does, it's also the subtleties of what happens when a family's in that NICU unit and they can't take their baby home, okay? And what they don't have that a mother normally gets when she holds the baby against their breast and is able to take the child home and have that bond immediately. There's something there that happens, and you're not only sensitive to it. Part of your program is to help it. If you would,
sure. Yeah. So it's just very unnatural, right? As Martha said at the beginning of the conversation, people feel like you get pregnant, you have a baby in the hospital, you go home.
You go home. Right?
So when everything changes, and for us it was the blink of an eye, but there's any number of reasons why babies end up in the neonatal intensive care unit. And what happens is, whether it's for 2 or 3 days in the NICU or 103 days or 380 days, I mean, there's babies in the NICU for a really extended period of time. It is not natural. It's not what you're expecting. And so what can today is a good day do to help create that bond?
But what does it cause? What issues does that cause when somebody doesn't have that bond there? They don't get the standard? I mean, you talk about anxiety, stress, depression. Yeah,
the a lot of PTSD with
PTSD.
With the NICU, and many people experience it. I mean, we talk about it frequently. We actually started a podcast in 2020, and we have a lot of conversations with mental health providers in several of the podcast episodes, talking about grief, talking about loss, talking about PTSD, talking about clues to know that you probably need to go talk to somebody. I mean, just different things to keep an eye out for. So those are all areas that we saw missing that, all of us have experienced who have gone through the NICU, and just trying to put people in touch with resources, right? And then part of the care packages too, as a way to build bonding, we added in probably around 2015, 2016, we had a family who received one of our care packages. They reached out to us. She said, we received these squares from someone, wondering if my first and second graders at Germantown Academy could make these to put into the care packages for families. I said, oh, that's great. That would be wonderful. So they are hand-woven squares, about 3 by 3, 4 by 4. One square goes on the parent skin, one goes into the isolette, and at night they switch them so that the parents have the baby scent and the baby has the parent scent. That small gesture from this wonderful family has evolved into this nationwide effort. I go into the office almost on a daily basis, and there's an envelope waiting there with bonding squares. Our Mary Gladys Award winner from the family brunch this past year has made over 5,000 bonding squares over the past few years. She knits them. So we have volunteers, and if anyone's listening and interested, we have the information.
I was going to ask about that.
Yes, we have the information at todayisagoodday.org under our volunteer at home area of the website, where it tells you what kind of yarn to get. You can weave them, sew them, crochet them.
And what happens? The baby has one on them during the day, and the mother or father have them, and then they switch them?
They switch them. Oh, so man. When mom's going home to pump at night, she has the baby scent in a square. If they're going home, they can't take their baby home with them. So that has been just a wonderful addition to...
And what else? What are the other components of the care package?
Sure. We have a water bottle, tissues, hand sanitizer, lip balm. We have a swaddle set. We just received, this is incredible, we just received 6,000 swaddle sets, blankets, and from a national clothing line, Kiki Pants, which is located out on the West Coast. They just shipped them to us. So they all go into our care packages as well. They're beautiful, wonderful soft blankets. And that swaddle set has a note from the family that helped us connect with that national clothing line. She actually now works with Today is a Good Day as our events and marketing coordinator. But she had this swaddle set. She connected with them, and they have been a wonderful supporter for the past few years. We also have a copy of On the Night You Were Born. So I'll say, when you're in the NICU, there's not a lot of typical or normal activities that you can do with your child, right? They're in an isolette. If they're small, like Claire and Mary were. And I have such memories of Paul sitting there. The one activity we could do was bring in books and put them in the bottom of the girls' isolettes. I have so many images of Paul sitting with one of the isolette doors open on the side, reading to Claire, reading to Mary, book after book after book after book. So we put a copy of On the Night You Were Born with a bookmark from our family saying, this is one of Claire's favorite books. We read to Claire and Mary on a daily basis. Just to remind families, those are some simple things that you can do, is to bring in books to read to your baby.
I think the one thing that I know has had, and they all have an impact, but the one thing that when we meet with families who have received the care packages, a lot of people say, the wristband that we give that says one day at a time, many of them are still wearing it many years later. So the, we give two per care package, and there's a note that goes along with it, which it was our mantra when Claire and Mary were in the NICU.
This is the original one day at a time bracelet. I still wear it every day.
Because when people would ask us, how are you doing? How's it going? And just like many of us in life, right, whether it's the NICU or anything that we're dealing with, you just got to take it one day at a time. So one of our things that we're always talking to NICU families about is take it one day at a time. You are going to have those bad moments, but for the majority of these miracles, the good days are going to outweigh the bad days, and you're going to be able to take your baby home.
We're going to go to break. We're going to bring Peggy Jansen to the broadcast. But before we do, Dan, any parting words? I'm speechless.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'll just keep reiterating it, Joe. You know, when you meet people like this that take a personal experience and redirect it in a way to help others. They're being humble here today. I know a little bit more background on what they do. Paul and Martha lost a second child throughout this process as well, William. And I don't know. I don't know that I would be able to do that, to do what they do. So, yeah, and to all the listening audience, we all have problems. Right, and we can all sit and wallow in our problems, or we can listen to folks like this, get up off the ground, and move forward one day at a time. I'll leave with this. Everyone in this room, we have survived 100% of the worst days of our life because we're still here. How do we get some gratitude out there? And how do we, our business, we see it every day. We see the end of life. And we see regrets and everything that happens with people. Be grateful. Live your life one day at a time.
And pay it forward.
And pay it forward. Pay it forward. The gifts that we were given, we believe in our organization that we have a greater response, a big ability to give back than more than we have received.
Today is a good day, Foundation. We're going to have more from the Giving a Spotlight Hour after the break.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Grammer. Wounded Warrior Project supports injured veterans by connecting them with fellow warriors, by serving them through mental health and wellness programs, and by empowering them to live on their own terms. No one should face a battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Givenish Spotlight Hour. We have a fantastic show. We're talking to Paul and Martha Sharkey, founders of Today is a Good Day Foundation. And that's www.todayisagoodday.org. I'm ecstatic to bring into the program from Givenish, Peggy Jansen. How are you, Peggy?
Very well. Thank you for having us.
It's great to be here. We appreciate, you know, what you do for the broadcast, making it happen. And certainly this one's going to be hard to top. I say that, you know, let's just retire it right now because it isn't getting any better. You have that spirit of giving back. And, I don't know too many people. We've talked about what you do at Givenish and taking calls at 4 o'clock in the morning from people that have experienced loss. And your passion for, you know, being sensitive to that, even if you were having a bad night yourself, if you weren't feeling well, got to make you feel good to be around Paul and Martha.
It does. For one thing, I'm glad that we're on radio, because if you could see my face as Paul and Martha were sharing their story, I probably looked like I was starstruck.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm not just saying it because you're in front of me, I'm in total awe of everything that you do. To share a little bit what I do for Givenish, which is why I love meeting like-minded people. I've been with Givenish. I consider John Givenish like a brother, Dan, Chris, because my job is really to touch every family that we provide services for. So I not only call every family after the services 3 to 4 weeks just to see how they're doing, which, if I can say how different that is from most funeral homes. you know, normally you have the services and they may give excellent care, but afterward you pay the bill and that's pretty much the end of the story with your relationship. We continue ours. Actually, we started even before you need us in doing a lot of community outreach to try and educate people about how we can help them before they even have a need so that on the worst day of their life, we can at least alleviate a little of that in their decision making and monetarily. So we try to prearrange families and help them become more educated with that. Then we do provide excellent service, second to none. If you've been in any of our homes, they're more of a celebration of life, like Paul had alluded to, that we like to celebrate the life of the person who had passed rather than mourn their passing. And then afterward, as I said, we have many things that we reach out in the community to, everything from a Halloween safety night to a memorial tree lighting ceremony to the fact that every single family is touched. I'll call them, just pretty much have a conversation to ask how they're doing, make sure everything was okay with the services, which 99.9% of the time they are. And maybe just a small detail, like they need more thank you cards. And then I'll proceed to tell them that we'd like to come out and pay them a visit and pretty much just have a one-on-one with them and share some things that maybe would be top of mind with them. They know what they just went through with losing a loved one. And now if we can help them maybe get their paperwork in order so that if an emergency arose, whether it be a flood in their home or something medical, anybody can step in and help them. So they're very appreciative of that. I know as I sit before you, although you've been so generous to share your story, just like Joe had alluded to and Dan, that you think you know someone, but you really don't know maybe what their story was or what they went through. So although we can sit here all day and everyone give different stories, I will tell you real quickly that I myself had two pregnancies, my first two pregnancies that ended in death, you know, in passing. I had two sons I carried to 4.5 months. And to share, and that's why I was practically crying when you were sharing your story, it was on a different way. But back then, and, you know, I'm 61 years old, you delivered the babies in the maternity ward. So there's my poor husband out there, and everyone's like, congratulations. What do you have? And he was like, and then I'm in a room with a woman who just delivered a baby and I'm watching her breastfeed and I just had my baby taken and they don't even like it just, and I'm not blaming anyone. It's just how it was back then. So, you know, kudos to you for finding the need. I mean, now I feel guilty. Like it hurt me so much. I wish at that time I would have been a stronger woman to be able to say, listen, there's a need. Don't put people in the maternity ward as they're delivering, you know, a stillborn or whatever. And so anyway, that, and then I had my father pass when I was only 7 years old through suicide. He was only 33. I had my mom pass at 57, which to me sounds so young now that I'm 61. So the point of sharing that is to, again, praise you and like-minded people that can take a situation and instead of being self-wallowing, which you wouldn't have been self-wallowing, that's a lot to handle. You know, you had jobs and careers and now you have babies that need this 24/7 care. You would have been very well within your rights to just sit back and say, help us, you know. But instead, what did you do? You turned around and said, how can we help others? So I love that because I'm of that same like-mindedness that although I don't even begin to compare to what you do, and again, I'm still starstruck as I speak in front of you, but I am very happy to say that Givenish has allowed me to follow my passion. I can honestly sit here and say I love what I do. I mean, think about it. I'm not helping people plan birthday parties. Many times, you know, I'm talking to someone at 2 o'clock in the morning who just lost their loved one, and they're sitting beside them bedside. So I love the fact that I can take the situations that I've been through, and instead of feeling sorry for myself, if I can help make someone else feel comfortable, I get such a high from that, you know. And then I'm also thankful to the Givenish family because, as Dan, who won't brag about himself, but he really is a great guy. Like, I don't consider him just, you know, one of my bosses. I really do feel like it, and I have come to him and said, Dan, I need some help. Can you? And I've never been given the answer no. So anyway, that's pretty cool.
Let me just say this, because we're coming down to the nitty gritty, but I want to say this. Last time we had this conversation, Peggy, it dawned on me, and I'll say the same for Paul and Martha, and Dan. You have digging down deep when somebody's in that, you know, you never know what point, you know, some, you know, somebody, you might have just got, somebody might have just opened their car door and scratched the paint on your door, and you're walking in, and somebody's going through it. You don't have the luxury, and Peggy, when you answer that phone, of having a bad day, when you're talking to somebody and always having that empathy. And I admire that because it comes so natural to everybody in this room. And I don't think anything happens here or with your organization by accident. There's so much, you know, to talk about. Okay, I'll say that to Peggy and Dan, can we do this again? I mean, because doing a part two here, what I'd like to do is, and I really appreciate that you're sharing, Peggy, because I said this, you could find brain surgeons walking on Market Street less than you would, or more than you would individuals in this room. That's a fact. Not everybody has the passion or compassion or the empathy just like that way, you know, because it comes natural. And I want to just say how much I admire everybody here. You guys are all awesome. And I appreciate just being here in this room. I told my wife when I was leaving, I think I might be a changed man when I come back. And she was sort of hoping that was the case. But having said that, if you will, Martha, contact information at the organization if somebody wants to volunteer, if they want to raise funds. I mean, you know, like a donate, contribute. I know you have, you know, you sell different, you know, items, give meals, you know, sell meals, all kinds of things. If you have anything in that aspect, you know, that they want to make a difference with the organization, how do they get in touch?
Yes. Well, first of all, I do have to say, Peggy, thank you for all you do for families. I mean, just really incredible. It's such a challenging time to hear the impact that you have on them. And thank you for also sharing your personal journey about your losses and the experiences that you had. For us, we have lots of opportunity for people to get involved with Today is a Good Day. Our goal is to get in touch and help and support as many NICU families as possible. And we know there are a lot of NICU families out there who also want to give back, and friends who may have had a friend who was in a NICU who want to give back. So you can definitely learn more at todayisagoodday.org. Again, that's todayisagoodday.org. But on that site, you'll see there's opportunities to volunteer at home. All of our upcoming events, which we have a very big event schedule through the end of the year.
Awesome.
Along with an opportunity to get in touch with us to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, volunteer opportunities, really any way that you might be interested in getting involved, even sharing your family's personal NICU story. We have a beautiful page on the website called NICU Miracles, and families have submitted their own stories that are all separated based upon gestational age from 22 weeks up to 37 plus weeks. So lots of opportunities to get involved. Todayisagoodday.org. And thank you for allowing us to be here.
It's our pleasure. Paul, any parting words?
I would just
besides
say,
the fact that you're the luckiest man in America,
I would say strong and soothing. We should start like a new brand of coffee for today's
there
good
you
day.
Go,
strong
Paul.
And soothing. Joe, we are grateful for you. We are grateful for Peggy and Dan. Thank you so much for the opportunity. This has been incredible, and it's awesome to be around great people.
Well, right back at you. It won't be the last time. That's a fact. Dan?
Yeah, you mentioned ways to help, and you said you're going to leave here a changed man. We had an opportunity to do a team building exercise with our entire staff where you talked a lot today about the care packages. Today is a good day organization. We'll bring all the necessary material. You gather your staff. You hear Martha and Paul tell their story in a short version, and your team helps put together the care packages. I can tell you when we did it to a person, every single one of our employees that participated in that left a changed person.
Awesome. Well, let me thank everybody for joining us on the broadcast. I want to thank Paul and Martha Sharkey, founders of the Today is a Good Day Foundation. Of course, Dan Selecki of GiveNition, and of course, Peggy Jansen and of Givnish and John Givnish himself for making it all possible. This has been an incredible experience. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. You've been listening to the Givnish Hour on WWDB Talk 860. For everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dockery. Have a great day.